Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the Heritage Hour. I'm Mark Gonzalez, your pastoral encourager here in Southwest Florida, and I'm so delighted to be with you on this Saturday morning, as we've been doing for many, many years, in fact, over 30 years now. And that's because of my good friends over at Kingdom 91.5 FM, serving all of Southwest Florida. And then we have our friends up at WAEC Love 860, serving the greater Atlanta area, on air and online at iHeartRadio and TuneIn Radio. And then we have WTMR 800 AM, our friends there serving the greater New Jersey and Philadelphia area. And I'm just so grateful for their partnership and so grateful that they help make it possible for all of us to be able to come together, to sit at the feet of the Lord, to gaze into His heart and let Him speak to us heart to heart. And if you've been with us, you know we're going through a particular portrait of God, because I see portraits of God throughout the scriptures. We put them together and get bigger portraits of God. We're looking at a portrait of God called He is Our, here it is, our baseline peace. 16 takeaways from 16 passages to show how the Lord is indeed our baseline peace in this tired, weary, and tumultuous world. And so if you've been with us, you know we've covered the first 8. Today we'll get the next 4 out of the 16. Can't wait to unpack it for you. And to get started, we're going to be in Psalm 55, if you want to make your way there. And as you go there, just a quick reminder that all of these messages are archived on my website at markpg.org. That's markpg.org. When you go to that landing page, there's several gray boxes. Just pick the one that says broadcast, click on that, and then click on Portraits of God on the next landing page, and then you'll be able to access all of these messages and more. By the way, at that website, the other gray boxes have things like columns that I've written for area publications. It also has videos, 3-minute videos on portraits of God. It also has printable guides and outlines on key qualities, character qualities from the scriptures. Also guides on hot topics that we deal with in life. So yeah, there's a lot of things there designed to do one thing, help you hear God. So I hope you'll check it out at markpg.org. And as we get started, as is our custom, well, let's just go before the Lord and ask Him to speak, shall we? Well, Lord, I am so grateful for the privilege You've given me over these 30-plus years just to come together with my brothers and sisters to sit at Your feet and let You just speak to us heart to heart. Lord, as we're looking at how You are our baseline peace, boy, in this crazy, angry world we're living in right now, this couldn't be more timely. So, Lord, thank You for giving us a vision of how we can experience You, know You, trust You as our baseline peace in the mix of all the things that we deal with. So thank You, Lord. Thank You for being so good to us. Thank You for loving us more than we can possibly imagine. And Lord, we pray this in the powerful name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by His precious cleansing and healing, transforming, empowering, and forgiving blood. Oh, amen. Amen and amen. All right, my friends, just a quick 90-second overview of the first 8, and then we'll get to 9, 10, 11, and 12 for today as we look at this portrait of God as our baseline peace. So we've seen that the Lord, our baseline peace, shows us that, number one, peace is most deeply Christ Himself. We saw this out of Ephesians 2. Secondly, peace and hope flow from believing God. Do you really believe God in things for your life? Romans 15 unpacks that for us. Number three, peace from God is not of this world. Oh, I love the supernatural emphasis that we get from John 14 on this one. And then number four, peace flows from a mind set on the Spirit. And it's Romans 8 that gives us a picture of that. Number five is how peace is spread by God's peacemakers. He intended for us to be peacemakers, my friend. He works through human agency. We get a good picture of that in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5. Number six is how peace flows when we build up one another. Romans 14 tells us how important that is. Number seven is how peace offered is not always received. Luke 10 talks about the disciples going out from house to house, offering a blessing of peace, but it's not always received. So that's a good, good insight to understand and not be discouraged as God sends you out to be a peacemaker, but discovering that peace offered is not always received. Number eight, peace flows from honoring parents. Proverbs 3, 1 through 2 unpacks that so well. So again, go to markpg.org and you can hear those previous broadcasts, the 27-minute broadcasts archived on that website. Now we come to number nine. We're going to pick it up out of Psalm 55, verse 18, where the Bible says this, "He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for there are many who strive with me." Whoa, is that striking or what? "He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for there are many who strive with me." So here's number nine, if you're a note taker. The Lord, our baseline peace, shows us that peace is possible even in battle. That's an extraordinary statement. That's an extraordinary truth that we're finding here. Peace is possible even in battle. Well, I don't have to tell you that we are engaged in spiritual warfare day in, day out. In fact, moment in, moment out, if we want to get real honest, because the enemy is relentless in trying to attack and discourage our hearts. He's the father of lies. He's the author of confusion. He's the one who brings disruption, and the point of attack is at our hearts. So here's the thing that the Lord has put on my heart to emphasize under this particular point about how peace is possible even in battle. It's the front line of spiritual warfare is not out there. Sometimes we think, let's pray against the enemy and the fiery darts of the enemy and the schemes of the devil out there, you know, ooh, I hope it doesn't come to our house, that type of a thing. Well, here's the thing. Here's the reality. Yes, it's fine to pray that way, but the reality is spiritual warfare is all around us. In fact, it's also deep within us. That this is an invisible war. This is a supernatural war. The enemy and his forces are always trying to attack our hearts. This is why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart, for from it flows the springs of life. Isn't that striking? Above all else, the Proverbs tells us, guard your heart, for from it flow the springs of life. Also in 1 Peter 4, it says, above all else, keep fervent in your love. That's a hard thing. Keep fervent in your love for one another, for love covers a multitude of sin. So I want to talk about the battleground of the heart, which includes the mind and the emotions and the spirit and the will. The enemy is attacking us at that level all the time. That's why you need to guard it. His sniper fire can come from anywhere at any time. His lies, his distortions can come at any time. That's why the Bible says to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Is this from the Lord or is this from the enemy? That's where the battle is taking place. Deep in our hearts, hopefully not in it, hopefully at the doorways to our heart, and we can keep those thoughts out. That's why we take those thoughts captive. Don't let it even get in there. Once the foot gets in the door, then it can really do some damage once it's inside. Now, reality check. We're not good at the door. We're not good at guarding it. And so it does get into our hearts. And then we have all the internal struggles and frustration and disorientation and that type of a thing. And we're like a swimmer who is drowning sometimes with so much going on in our hearts and minds and trying to deal with all the things of this world, which we'll get to in a moment. At this point, I want to talk about how the Lord has a great desire to jump into the waters of your internal warfare of the heart to rescue you. My friend, He lives within us. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, is within us. And the waters that are churning there, sometimes the enemy can get his lies, his deception, and cause us to drown and stuff. And in this metaphor, think about this. Lifeguards are trained to save drowning people and taught that they're often frenetically flailing about. They're so frightened about the possibility of drowning to their death that when you go to save them and grab them, they might actually hit you and flail at you, or they'll be jittery and wiggling around, and you have to just hang in there, even if you get hit, and try to calm them down. Shh, shh, shh. Okay, it's okay, it's okay. Shh, shh, look at me, look at me, look at me. I got you, I got you, I got you. My friend, the Lord is our rescuer. He is our lifeguard. He is always there trying to settle our spirits. Shh, it's okay. It's okay. It's all right. I see you. I know you're struggling. I know you're drowning. Shh, it's okay. It's okay. Take a deep breath. Look at me. Okay, we're going to swim now. Here we go. Come on. He loves you that much. It's hard for us to get still. It's hard for us to be still. It's hard for us to let go of our desperate attempts to swim by ourselves, to save ourselves, to white knuckle through a situation. If I can just figure this out, if I can just get over the hump, if I can just understand this better, if I can just, you know, you're fighting, and you'll drown until you just relax and let the Lord speak to you and quiet you down and let you relax, and He can take you safely ashore. Years ago, when I was in high school, and that's a long time ago, my friend, some buddies of mine and I went to a river there in Texas to go down some rapids on some inner tubes, inner tubing down the rapids. Loved it, you know. And they had these little waterfalls and all. And, well, this one particular 3 or 4 foot waterfall was coming up, and I happened to fall off my inner tube, got a little twisted and all, right under the waterfall. The spillway was right above me. Now, 3 or 4 feet doesn't sound like a very big drop, and it isn't in one sense. But it's a ton of water that was coming down on me. And I started fighting and squirming. And, oh, no, I got to get up. And I couldn't get up. I couldn't beat the power of that waterfall to get up. And suddenly I started feeling a sense in the Lord saying, okay, shh, 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 son, shh, shh, let go. Stop fighting. Let go. What do you mean? I got it. I'm drowning. I got to get out of here. I got to get out. Shh, 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 shh. Relax. Let go. And somehow those whispers came through to me. I stopped, I relaxed, and the current, the undercurrent, took me right away from the falls, and I immediately was able to easily pop up. Had I kept fighting it, I could have very easily drowned. But when I heard the Lord saying, shh, it's okay, trust me, let go, stop fighting. That, my friend, is the peace that is possible even in battle. When your heart is being embattled by all kinds of things, which we're going to get to in just a moment, at the end of the day, listening for the whispers of God to shh, it's okay, look at me, look at me, now relax, shh, I got you, I got you. That's how you can have peace even in battle. Oh, I love that. Totally love that. So let's get more specific about life situations, because number 10, tells us this: we just saw how peace is possible even in battle, but I want you to know that the Lord, our baseline peace, shows us that peace is possible in the midst of tribulation. That's number 10. Peace is possible in the midst of tribulation. Now from Psalm 55, we now go to John chapter 16 and verse 33. John 16, 33. These things I have spoken to you, so that in me you may have peace. Now in the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world. Oh, I love this passage. I love this passage. In me you may have peace. Now in the world you will have tribulation. My friends, that is a given. Have you discovered and come to peace with the reality that the world has always had a plethora, a ton of tribulation for us? Life is unfair. It is overwhelming at times. That always has been. It always will be. Jesus is saying that. But he says, take courage. I've overcome the world. So let's unpack this. How is it that peace is possible in the midst of tribulation? And we have our share of tribulation, haven't we? Back in 2020, the COVID era. Oh my goodness, what a time of trials and tribulation and tumultuous cultural impact. It was stunning. It took away a rhythm of life and a lifestyle that has never come back again. It launched us into cultural grief around the globe, and we didn't even realize we were experiencing grief in all of its five stages. Denial, oh, it's not that bad, it's fine. Bargaining, to depression, to anger. We've seen a lot of anger in that era and since then. And then finally, before you get to acceptance and all, but COVID caused a spirit of grief to fog in our entire culture, not just in the U.S., but around the world. And of course, they tell you, if you've lost a loved one, and by the way, grief is not just when somebody dies, it's when you have loss. It's why when a child, you know, graduates from high school and goes off to college somewhere, we're joyful, but parents are also go through grief at the loss of the presence, the physical presence of their child from close proximity. COVID spawned that. And here in this area, we had a hurricane just last fall. Hurricane Ian devastated the area. We're seeing reports all over the place of wildfires. The one in Maui, we just heard about it. Just a horrible fire that broke out and destroyed an entire town and so many lives displaced. We're hearing about tornadoes and earthquakes. And then you hear about Ukraine under constant assault and all. There's so much going on. You hear about genocide in parts of Africa and spiritual persecution. I mean, it is tribulation all over the place. And from a cultural perspective here in the States, we're dealing with the cancer culture mentalities and the LGBTQ aggressive agenda and the abortion debates and the immigration debates and the uncertainty in our economy and the political landscape that is just vicious now, and polarized views are all over the place on all over these issues, and it's just overwhelming at times. And sometimes we can fall prey to saying, if I could just get my head around this thing, I can have some peace. Well, here's the thing. Jesus is saying, you will never get your head around this. There's far too many layers, far too many things, but it's not yours to get your head around. You are finite. I am infinite. You take care of that which comes across your path by listening to me. I'll take care of the other things as well. I am with you. There are far more eternal things at stake than the cultural fights that are going on now. You can have peace in the midst of it if you just abide in me. I will give you a peace that is possible in battle in your own hearts and how you're receiving and dealing with all of this tribulation in this world. That's why I'm here. That's why we have a Savior. So don't try to analyze and strategize and about the plethora of tribulation, the tumultuous tribulation that's all about us. It can be overwhelming. Somehow, some way, in the eternal scheme of things, God is taking care of it a bit at a time, and He's taking care of you all of the time. Abide in Him, my friends, and you'll have peace in the midst of tribulation. Number 11 in our journey of four things today, as we're heading to number 12, is that peace and safety come from God. Peace and safety come from God. Psalm 4:8 puts it this way: "In peace I will both lie down and sleep, for you alone, O God, make me to dwell in safety." You can have peace when you lie down and go to sleep, even though there's all kinds of tribulation around us, even though there's spiritual warfare, kinds of battles going on in our hearts, because it's the Lord who helps us to dwell in a sense of His safety and protection in the midst of all that tumultuous activity. Now, obvious thing, what about all the situations where people are attacked in their sleep? And how do we deal with that and reconcile this passage? Well, remember that the Lord is always thinking eternally. He's always thinking about the great beyond, the bigger things. When we die physically, it's not the end and it's not a tragedy. It is a beginning. It is not a grave. It is a doorway to a whole new experience in Him. And there are times when the Lord will bring people home earlier than we might think is right, but only He's the one who knows what the best time is. A good friend of mine I just heard passed away early this morning. It was time. But it's not a tragedy, because He just went to heaven. He just went to be in the very presence of the Lord. There's joy in the heavens for that. Is there grief at the loss of His presence physically among us? Yes. But there's also joy simultaneously and peace simultaneously, because God's got us in His hands. So we can go to bed safely. We can be at peace, even though there's all kinds of tumultuous things we're dealing with. And even if we, you know, die that night and go to heaven, that doesn't mean the Lord didn't keep us safe. In fact, He's taken us to the safest place of all, right by His side in heaven. Oh, my friend, if you get motor mind in the night like I do, and you're trying to get your head around it, trying to fix it and all, just listen for the Lord whispering once again, shh, 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 it's okay. Just relax. I got this. You don't have to get your head around it at all. Let's just go to sleep. I've got you. You're safe. One last thing, number 12. Peace and strength come from the Lord. Peace and strength come from the Lord. Now, that sounds like an unusual combination of peace and strength, but listen to this in Psalm 29, verse 11. The Lord will give strength to His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. I love that. The juxtaposition of strength and peace. It comes from the Lord. So several things come to mind. Jesus in the boat, when the storm hit, the disciples were going nuts and Jesus was sleeping, you know, in the midst of this rocking boat in this big storm. They wake Him up and He's going, what, what's up? Oh, storm, that's bothering, okay, well, peace, be still. And it was done. Circumstantially, He chose to calm the storm. More often, He's going to calm the storm of your heart while the storm continues to rage. I just love that. Peace and strength. And there's a strength in people who can be at peace in the midst of stormy controversies and stormy meetings and stormy situations. Isn't it amazing? Can you think of some situations when people were having some kind of a to-do, some kind of a verbal fight or skirmish or debate, and yet somebody was, you just watched them, they were not being overwhelmed. They were not being discouraged. They were just calmly watching, listening, and then when it was time for them to speak, they had a soft, incredibly wise word that helped settle everyone down. Peace and strength come from God. And when you are abiding in Christ, as we've been describing before, in battle, in the midst of tribulation, recognizing your peace and safety is from God, you get that kind of strength that can help calm a situation down at work, at school, at home, at church. I love that. I absolutely love that. It's amazing as you can get people's attention with that softer voice. It reminds me of one of the last scenes in Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade, when the earthquake kind of thing was happening in the cave, and the chalice went down in a crevice, and Indiana went down to get it, you know, and he's got it, but he's also slipping, and his dad's got his hand, and his dad's saying, "Let it go, let it go." "No, Dad, I got this, I got this, I got the chalice, we can do this, we can do this." "Indiana, Indiana, let it go, let it go." And he saw that calm and strength in the midst of the chaos. He let it go and was saved. Our Lord does much better than that for us, my friends. Well, Lord, thank you for being our baseline peace, knowing we always know that you're there for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm Mark Gonzalez. Be sure to check out my website at markpg.org. Until next time, fall in love with your baseline peace.